Hello and welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. This week in worship, we celebrate homecoming as Pastor David takes a look at Abraham learning to live in tents. Let's listen.
Well, I decided that this past weekend was the weekend that I wanted to introduce my daughters to tent camping. I mean, tent camping was something that I grew up loving, and I was just waiting for the right age for Zoe and Riley, where I thought they can make it through the whole night. Now, for a while now, they've been kind of begging me, saying, can we go? Is tonight the night? Can we go camping? So I finally said, sure, let's go camping in my backyard. We'll have a full experience. We've got a picture of what that looked like, and you can see the excitement on their faces that, oh, we get to sleep outside. We get to sleep in a tent. Well, Sarah and I made a big experience of it. I made a campfire. We roasted hot dogs. We made s'mores. And then when the sun went down, we all went into the tent. It was about 1:30 in the morning when both Zoe and Riley woke up, and they were panicked. They said, Dad, it's so cold. I said, I know. We're outside. That's what happens when you sleep outside. They were a little bit surprised by that. I threw a couple more blankets on them, and luckily they went back to sleep, and they made it the rest of the night. I was so proud of them. I was proud that for their first camping experience, they made it all night. Now, the next morning, I have to admit, I was kind of sore. I wasn't feeling my best. I was fatigued and pretty tired, and that tiredness lasted really the whole day. And my daughters, I was so proud of them, but they were kind of cranky. You can tell they didn't sleep very well. They too were a little bit like short-tempered and such. And I thought to myself, that's after only one night of sleeping in a tent. Can you imagine if you did that for a long amount of time, or if that was your permanent location, sleeping in a tent? How would you feel? I bring that up because in today's story that we're going to read from Scripture, that's exactly this person's experience. This person is living his life in a tent. And so I would like you to imagine, what would that feel like if that was your reality? We're studying the story that you'll be, at this point, very familiar with. It's the story of Abraham. But we're doing it not from the first book in the Bible, like we did for our Lenten series, 40 Days of Promise. No, we're studying Abraham's story as it is reflected on in one of the last books in the Bible, the book of Hebrews. You see, the author of Hebrews uses Abraham as an example of faith and legacy that he wants to share with us, his readers, today. If you miss any of the series of Abraham, you may remember that God called Abraham to leave his home, to leave his family, to leave really everything that he'd ever known before, and go on this new journey, this journey that God was asking him in trust, in faith, to go to. And God was going to lead him to a new land where both he and his descendants could settle. Here's how the author of Hebrews begins to reflect on this story. We begin in chapter 11, verse 8. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. So we begin with the author of Hebrews recapping what we already know of this story, that it was by faith that Abraham chose to say yes, to say, okay, God, sure, I will trust you. I will believe in the promises you're making to me. And I will go to this new land that you are promising to me and to my descendants. It was by faith that enabled Abraham to go. But what we find out next is that when he arrived, it was not exactly like he expected it to be. I mean, when he finally, after this long journey, got to the land that God was giving him, it wasn't exactly what he was picturing in his mind when he said yes to this journey. The scripture goes on and says, and even when he reached the land God promised him. He lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner, living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. The author of Hebrews is saying that it was by faith that Abraham said yes to this whole journey, but then even when he got there, it was by faith that he stayed, because it was not the type of land that he was picturing or anticipating. For one, he's living in tents. There's nothing glamorous about that. He got to this new land that God gave him, and he lived in tents, and then so did his son Isaac, and eventually his grandson Jacob. They all had this promised land, but they were experiencing it as people who were simply living in tents. And also, the land that God brought them to did not feel like home. Did you notice it said Abraham felt like a foreigner in a land that wasn't like the land he came from? I imagine that the journey that Abraham started on in faith with God was quite exciting, and then when he finally got to the land that God called him to, I wonder if he was a little bit disappointed. I wonder if you can relate to that. If you've ever started a journey or a road trip, the excitement is sky high. I mean, picture, the car is packed, the gas tank is full, you've got your playlist ready to go, and everybody is really excited to start the journey. And it's about, I don't know, the fifth bathroom break and the 12th traffic jam where that excitement is not nearly as high anymore. And then can you imagine if once you finally got to your destination, it wasn't at all what you were hoping for or really expecting? That's a little bit what Abraham is experiencing here. He said yes to God. It was by faith that he followed God onto this journey, and then when he arrived in the land God called him to, he felt like a foreigner. It wasn't his home, and he ended up simply living in tents. The excitement that he started with wasn't there when he finally arrived. The reason that the author of Hebrews is including these details is he's asking, do you think that Abraham expected more? And when he got to the land that God called him to, do you think he expected more? When Abraham chose to commit his life to God and to say yes to this journey of faith, I mean, what outcomes of faith, what expectations of his relationship with God did he have? And were those fulfilled when he finally got to the land? We can ask ourselves those same questions in a way. When you first started this journey of faith, when you decided to say yes to God, when you decided to create your life in such a way that your priorities were focused on living the way that you thought God wanted you to live, what outcomes did you expect? What expectations then did you have on what that life of faith would look like? And have those expectations, those outcomes, been what you were hoping for? If you can relate to those questions, then you can relate to what Abraham is feeling here as he is now living by faith in this land that is not his own. If I were Abraham, I think I would be disappointed. But it turns out we can learn something pretty profound from the way Abraham responded to this situation. The next verse tells us this. It says, Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. So Abraham may be living in tents now, but he was looking forward to a time where there would be an eternal city, and that would be his inheritance. Now, you might be wondering, why? I mean, if he's living in tents, and if his descendants ended up living in tents, if that was his earthly experience of God's promises to him, why is he looking forward to a city with eternal foundations? What does he mean here? Well, this image of a city this heavenly place is just that. It's an image or a metaphor that is used throughout Scripture to paint a picture of what the world is going to be like when God makes his dwelling place here among us on earth. These images of a heavenly city or a new Jerusalem, you'll see them pop up from time to time in Scripture as a way of saying, this is what the world's going to be like when God fully makes his presence known on earth in such a way that the things that are broken will be fixed, the things that are lost will be restored. This is the heavenly city. Here's an example from the very last book in the Bible that speaks of this coming as God's dwelling place. When in Revelation chapter 21, John says, I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. What Abraham realized here is that the best is yet to come. You see, he decided to live his life according to faith. He was able to look around and say, yeah, this land that God brought me to is not exactly what I was expecting. I'm living in a situation that's not exactly what I would have chosen, but I'm going to choose to look forward. Not look at just my present situation and circumstance. I'm going to look forward to the world that God is creating. And I'm going to trust and believe that because of my faith, the best is yet to come. The author of Hebrews expands on this idea in the next passage. It says, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. And then pay particular attention to this last verse. All these people, meaning Abraham, Sarah, and all their descendants, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. Do you see what the author is saying here? That Abraham, Sarah, and their long line of descendants, they did not receive in full what God promised them. In their lifetime, they did not see the completion of that beautiful picture that God had painted for them and for this world. But they saw it from a distance. They did. They saw the promises of God being fulfilled in their world as if seeing it from a distance, and they welcomed what they saw. I want you to picture the last time that you were driving and you could see a long, long way out. You could see a whole horizon. And as you were driving, something on the horizon emerged, and you couldn't quite tell what it was. The edges were fuzzy, the lines were blurred, and yet you still were able to grasp what it was that you were looking at way out there on the horizon. That's a bit what is happening here with Abraham. He sees the promises of God. He sees the world that God is going to make, a world without pain, without disease, without mental health issues and physical health issues. Abraham sees this world of a beautiful place that God has promised, but he sees it at a distance. It is not fully here. The lines are fuzzy. You have to squint at it a little bit to really make it out, but he sees enough of God in process creating that world here to believe it, to live by faith with it, and to welcome it as he sees it coming. What the author of Hebrews is asking all of us to do is to compare our tent versus city experiences. We all have tent experiences. That those are the kind of the times of life that are just not exactly what we'd hope for them to be. The times where we're a little bit disappointed or disillusioned with how hard this life can be at times. Like Abraham saying, well, I guess I'm living in tents. You all have your own tent experiences that you go through. But in those experiences, Abraham looked to the city, looked to what God was creating. And you can do that too. Within your own tent experiences, you can look towards the city of God and the presence of God that is dwelling here on earth. You can see it, but from a distance, and you can welcome it. Well, Abraham was satisfied that his current experiences in this land that was not his own were not going to be the end of the story. But no, God was forming something new, even right here in his world. So he and his descendants, they chose to live this life by faith. Here's how the author of Hebrews concludes this discussion. It says, they, meaning Abraham and his descendants, they agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. And obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. I really love that conclusion. It's in conclusion that Abraham and his descendants, at any time, they could have gone back. They could have said, this land that God brought me to is not what I wanted. This experience of living in tents is not all it's cracked up to be. So I'm just going to go back to the land that I came from when God initially called me on that experience. But they didn't do that. Why? They were looking forward. They weren't looking back to where they came from. They were looking forward to the world that God was creating, and they decided then to live this earthly experience by faith. We get the same opportunity today. I mean, all of us can think of that time that we experienced God for the first time, that we really truly knew that God was working in us and through us. But there are those tense experiences in life where you get disappointed, you get disillusioned, and we all have the opportunity to go back, to say, you know, I'm just going to go back to living my life how I lived before I even knew God. Before I really lived by faith and accepted that God was here in my life, I'm going to go back. But as people of faith, we get the opportunity to continue moving forward. Moving forward because we believe in what God is creating. And we believe that we can see it from a distance, that God is creating a beautiful world here on earth. It's not easy to live by faith. But as we do so, we join a long line of people who chose to live this earthly experience by faith, starting with Abraham all the way up to us today. We're able to say that God is doing something beautiful. That, yeah, we may be living in tents now, but I'm looking towards that heavenly city because I trust what God is doing here on earth. Well, today, I look at that long list that we read earlier of those who have died. And they died without seeing the fulfillment of God's promises here on earth. But just like Abraham, in that long line of descendants, all the way to the present day people of faith, I believe that they saw it from a distance and they welcomed it. I think of Roberta Andrews, and Hobby Cobb, and Charlie Lampley, and Mary Harrison. And I'm encouraged that what they saw from a distance in their earthly experience, that they now experience fully in God's heavenly city. I think of Pete Freeman, and Henry Chapin, and Bill Nixon, and Roddy Brandes. And I know that what they saw in part, they now see in full. I think of Jim Farver and Henry Fogel, of Bain Lowe and and Bill Haas. And I believe that they are living in earthly tents no longer, but they are now dwelling in the very presence of God. I think of Len and Anne McCutcheon, of Betty Graham and Catherine Reed. And I know that what was once lived only by faith, that now they live through experience in the presence of God. We, all who are still here on earth today, we see all of these promises of God from a distance. And we may all die without seeing them fully fulfilled, and that's okay, because we join a long line of people who have chosen to live this life by faith. We choose to trust at what we see from a distance. That's so fuzzy and barely visible right now, but we trust that one day will become clear and radiant and vibrant. I imagine it a bit like this picture of glasses, where so much of the world is fuzzy. So much of the world is full of heartbreak and confusion and stress and fatigue, and yet we choose to live by faith, which is the part of the glasses that have a little bit of clarity, because we're looking forward to what God is doing in our world, and we keep our eyes fixed and focused on that. During this homecoming celebration today, I encourage you to join the long line of people who have lived by faith, who have looked at what God is doing in this world and have seen it from a distance and welcomed it.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.